It's Morning Edition. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Public employees in Rhode Island are scheduled to vote next week on a proposed deal to settle a lawsuit over Rhode Island's pension overhaul. The settlement could save the state as much as $4 billion in payments to retired state employees, but it could also have benefits for union members. Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis joins me now to go over the details. Good morning, Ian.
Hi there, Elizabeth.
So why is there renewed talk about a settlement in this pension case right now?
Well, it seems pretty clear that the scheduled April 20th court date of a trial over the pension overhaul is what's driving this process. Both sides had attempted to put this day off into the future until January 2016, but they really face the pressure of a sharp deadline right now. The judge in the case, Sarah Taft Carter in Superior Court, has indicated that she's prepared to go ahead with a trial in the absence of a settlement. So I think that's what's compelling these latest developments.
Take us back to 2011 when state lawmakers passed the pension overhaul in the first place. What were the key elements of this policy?
Well, Gina Raimondo, now the state's governor and then the state's treasurer, really seized on this issue, and she described it as a way to prevent a major crisis from developing for Rhode Island in terms of not having enough money to pay retirees in the pension system down the road. She built support for a major overhaul of the pension system, and that consisted of raising retirement ages for retirees, suspending cost of living adjustments until the pension system is better funded, and moving retirees from a defined benefit plan into a hybrid defined contribution plan. All these were ways of cutting the cost of the pension program, and then a series of public employee unions went to court the next year in 2012 to argue that this was unconstitutional to cut benefits that had already been promised to state workers.
Now, Ian, last year there was talk of another settlement and union employees voted down that proposed deal. What's different about the deal this time around?
Well, first off, let's remember that most of the groups that voted on this proposed settlement last year approved it. It was the smallest group, a group of police officers, that rejected it, but under the rules of the settlement at that time, if any one of about five or six different groups rejected it, that canceled the whole deal. So right now, I think we see some recognition on the part of both sides that it would be better to have the certainty of a settlement rather than the uncertainty of what might happen if this process plays out in court. Certainly, there's not complete agreement on either side. There are some union members who want to roll the dice and go to court and try to win outright in court, but it's really unpredictable what will happen precisely if this goes to court. Regardless of what would be decided in Superior Court, it would ultimately move to the state Supreme Court. And if it's against the state, it could be financially devastating. If it's against the unions, a lot of union members would be bitterly disappointed. So those are the broad strokes of what could be the upshot.
Of course, I can understand why the state would want to save $4 billion in payments to retirees, but what's in it for the unions? What do they have to lose if a decision goes against them?
Well, I spoke with Michael Downey, the president of the largest group of state employees, AFSCME's Council 94, and he said that he's personally skeptical about whether a jury in Superior Court will side with the unions. He thinks it's better to get something rather than nothing. And for those union members who share that view, that's the thinking, that it's better to have the certainty of a settlement rather than avoiding the protracted litigation that brings with it a lot of uncertainty.
As you mentioned, Ian, there's not complete agreement even among union members about whether a settlement is a good idea. Here's what Governor Gina Raimondo said this week about the likelihood that this proposed settlement will go through.
I don't know. You know, as I said earlier, we're always trying to settle, and settlement on the right terms would be a great thing for the state, would provide closure. So while we're preparing for trial, because we will be ready for trial in April, we're also trying to settle.
So what's your take, Ian? Is this deal likely to gain approval from both the governor and state lawmakers and the unions?
It's hard to say with complete certainty, Elizabeth, but I've always thought personally that a settlement was more likely than not, just because you open a real Pandora's box of potential problems if this goes to trial and there's an adverse outcome for either side. There's more common ground. There's more consensus. There's just more shared benefit if this could be settled right now.
And we're talking about a potential deal, but we don't really know many details about what's in this proposal. Why is there so much secrecy here?
That's a great question, and it really comes down to a series of gag orders that have been imposed by the judge in the case, Sarah Taft Carter. I'm not sure that we've heard from her on her explanation, but the implicit rationale seems to be that this process will work better and will be a cleaner process somehow if it happens without a lot of people blabbing the details of it in public, even if we are talking about the taxpayer. Money.
And what is the process for approving this proposed settlement?
Well, there are going to be a series of votes in the case of AFSCME's Council 94, which is made up of a series of smaller unions. There are going to be a series of rolling votes that need to be wrapped up by March 27th. I would imagine there will be other votes by other unions that are parties to this litigation. And then the results will come in and we'll hear about it in court probably.
In the event that any of the parties to this litigation, either the state or the unions, decide against the deal, what happens if this fight makes it to trial?
As I said, you would ultimately see it go to the state Supreme Court. If there was a judgment against the state, it would be financially devastating for the state. There could potentially be some middle ground if it wound up in the state Supreme Court. That's the pet theory of our political analyst, Scott McKay, who, in his words, believes the Supreme Court would split the baby. And on the other hand, if it was a defeat for the unions, many of the union members who pushed for a trial or who opposed a settlement would be bitterly disappointed, and those who favored a settlement will be left saying, I told you so.
Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis, thanks for getting us up to speed on the pinch.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
I'm Elizabeth Harrison. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.